This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New World Report with Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. We're headed to Brasilia in these days past. The headline tells the story that then gets really complicated. Maduro and Lula hit out at U.S. sanctions on Venezuela. Lula da Silva, the president of Brazil, called the U.S. sanctions on Venezuela, quote, extremely exaggerated, and criticized the U.S. for denying the legitimacy of Maduro, who is considered by Washington an authoritarian leader who has not allowed free elections. No kidding. How about 7 million people who fled his country because there's no food security or medicine? Ernesto, I come to you to understand Venezuela and Brazil. We need to understand what Lula da Silva wants from this handshake on the 29th of May at an invitation at Unasur in Brasilia. What does Brazil gain from this apparent outreach to normalize Maduro?
Lula's project since day one has been to reestablish this concept of South American integration as a bloc that is opposed to the West, opposed to democracy and free markets. But he tries to get by with that with his environmental discourse. This is still his plan, and that's the way he's doing. I think he overplayed his hand with this meeting in Brasilia. He didn't need to give so much attention and smile so much to Maduro. This created a huge... And he said that all the problems in Venezuela are the fruit, the consequence of a narrative. The lack of democracy in Venezuela is a narrative. So this led to a huge reaction from the public opinion, even from the many Lula supporters in the press. And to even Gabriel Boric of Chile saying, no, it's not a narrative. Venezuela has a problem of lack of democracy. So apparently led by Boric and by Uruguayan president Lacalle Pou, the other presidents decided not to attend the dinner that was planned for after the meeting. This is why this happened. Well, Lula could do everything without showing so much friendship towards Maduro. But this has to do with maybe his old-fashioned thinking. He thinks his 15 years ago when he was in power. But the world has changed. The public opinion is much more concerned about the projects of left-wing integration in Latin America. Now the public opinion knows it's linked to organized crime, knows it's linked to totalitarian regimes abroad, like Russia and China. So I think Lula will have much more, and Maduro, they'll have much more trouble in reorganizing this bloc. We had killed UNASUL back in 2019 when President Bolsonaro and I were running Brazilian foreign policy and tried to establish a new process, PROSUL, based on democracy and freedom values. But, I mean, they destroyed that too now. But I think we planted a seed, and the seed is that Latin America can be different. South America is not doomed to be the sort of cartel-run, corrupt mechanism.
The observation from other directions about Lula da Silva has to take into account his statement that Russian concerns in Ukraine must be taken into account. He says this while gripping the hand of Maduro, who's a well-known client of Russia and especially its bad actors in South America. So how does Lula da Silva gain from from wandering into the Ukraine war? I'm trying to figure that out, because everybody's a loser when you come to a level of conflict like that. Lula da Silva certainly must know the public opinion is fixed, that Russia's an invader and a bad actor.
Well, I think Lula is trying to render a service to Vladimir Putin, talking about peace, but a sort of Russia-serving peace. Ukraine is about to start its counteroffensive. They're about to maybe expel Russia from their territory. So everything that Russia wants now is to stop conflict there and digest the Ukrainian territory that they have invaded. So and also in this case, I think they don't know that the world has changed. They think they can say peace and people will buy them face value. Lula and Celso Amorim, his foreign policy advisor and former foreign minister. But people don't buy them face value anymore in the world or in Brazil. I think that's becoming clear. So they are they're playing this very obvious, very transparent game of trying to build a Putin-serving peace for the Ukraine, using all sorts of jargon, diplomatic jargon. But the world is a different place now. People know that peace with Russia now doesn't mean peace. It means a prize, a reward for Russian aggression. So I think Lula is being outpaced by reality and his foreign policy as well.
Joseph, there's a photograph of all the attendees of this South America summit at the Palace in Brasilia. What do we make of this gathering? Because ordinarily, transnational with flags like this are an opportunity for everybody to be cheerful and get their pictures in the paper back home. No particular significant outcome. What do you make of this summit at Brasilia within these last days?
Well, I think there's two things, John. I think there's some things that are happening, obviously, on the political level, which are these alliances that Ernesto's talking about and how they're trying to shift the region to the far left and create this kind of coalition under the auspices of regional integration. That's a buzzword that the Latin American left, in particular, but Latin America in general, has been using for 2 decades or more. And when they say the regional integration, what they basically mean is dissolving the checks and balances of their democracies and also the national sovereignty, which allows them to become representative democracies in the first place. But there's, I think, something else that's happening beneath the surface. And, you know, when we talk about Nicolas Maduro, we've got to be clear on this. We're not talking about a democracy. We're talking not only of a dictatorship, but we're talking about a platform, which is Venezuela, that is being used by the most totalitarian regimes in the world, Beijing, Moscow, and Tehran in particular, who are looking to accelerate war plans. You know, we just had the close contact between the naval ships down in the Taiwan Strait. We're having increasing aggressions on the part of the Iranians against Israel in the Middle East, and obviously the ongoing war in Ukraine. And all these things may seem very distant to Latin America, but when Nicolas Maduro gets involved, they're not. Because he is, as you mentioned, their client in the region. So what worries me is there may be some activities that are happening, some coordination that's happening behind the scenes, beneath the surface, and Brazil is very key to that. Or there's some things that we're watching at SFS as well in terms of there's an increase of flights and ships that are coming from Iran and to Venezuela. And some of these ships, I think, are not now looking to be extended, and flights are looking to be extended to Brazil. So there may be a logistical network that's being extended, but that's not something they're going to talk about, and that's not something they're going to mention in the political side of the meeting. But it's definitely clear that that's what Maduro is focused on.
So your measure is that there's no particular risk for attending a South America summit by invitation of Lula da Silva. This doesn't mean it's all the same team. Is that correct? That everybody's got a different opinion of where they are in the galaxy of left-right.
Sure. I mean, when you have these summits, there's not always 100% consensus on where everyone sits. But the effort is to bring Maduro back into the fold. I mean, you know, a year or 2, 3 years ago, Maduro was excluded. He was barred. He was ostracized from these type of gatherings because he was considered not only a dictatorship, but a human rights violator, someone that was basically accused credibly of crimes against humanity. For this humanitarian catastrophe that he's provoked inside his country. But now they're trying to reintegrate him into the Latin American community and by extension, the international community, much similar to the way they're doing Bashar al-Assad in Syria. And, you know, they really much are working on the same timetable and timeline, and they're bringing them back into the political fold. But I think that does have consequences.
And Ernesto, just finally, the photograph includes Lula da Silva standing in dead center, with two thumbs up to the camera. Everybody else is waving happily. I love Gabriel Boric trying to fit into a new suit. He's very charming in his black beard. But does Lula da Silva's present himself to the Brazilian public as a leader of the continent? How does he express himself when he talks on television? Quickly, Ernesto.
Well, Lula has a few cliches that he likes to repeat, but when he starts the second phrase, he doesn't know what he's saying. The cliches used to work before, now they don't. So that's what's happening. He's trying to rebuild Latin America as a totalitarian bloc in a moment where the people know what he's doing and don't want that anymore.
And therefore, it's not successful in Brazil because, you know, everybody's smiling. Is that convincing?
No, not at all. Not at all. It backfired. It completely backfired, especially because Maduro's security, they harassed the Brazilian reporter. This is was awful. So, it added to the indignation with the presence of a dictator in those conditions in Brasilia.
Yes, certainly the bad apple did his job in that photograph, right? He's all the way at the extreme stage right. That would be Nicolas Maduro. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. There's trouble in Ecuador, and then there's great success and glamour in Madrid.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.